the committee to order here, please? Thank you, Dawn. We started at 10 after 6 because we went late from our earlier hearing this afternoon. I'm going to take this committee until approximately 8 o'clock because some people drive back to their homes this evening, and we've been in committee for 6 hours already today. So we have 38 people signed up to testify, which means I'm going to limit testimony to about 2 minutes apiece. If you have a written testimony, we would love to have it. And if you want to testify, you hit the high points. But please don't come up here and read 5 minutes of testimony because I'll have to cut you off so that all 38 of you have an opportunity to be heard. So with that, I also need to remind you, if you have a cell phone, now is the time to turn it off or on vibrate. If I hear your cell phone, we'll ask you to make a contribution to the Common School Fund. And we are currently at about $1,800 for that, though jokingly we will tell you that would be about an $18 contribution. And if you've signed up, have not signed up, we have sign-up sheets over on the side table. With that, we're going to get started with our first panel. We have a panel of folks, and then we'll get into the public testimony that's not organized, and everyone will have an opportunity to be heard, and we will alternate between pro and con after we get through this panel. First up, Senate President Peter Courtney. And I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 769. And we'll do these three.
Okay. Chair Walker, members of the Senate Education Workforce Committee, I'll rush because you have so many people who have come here to testify. I'm here today to testify in favor of Senate Bill 769. This bill would provide...
And you are?
I'm Peter Courtney. Sorry, can you tell how much I'm rushing? Peter Courtney, State Senator, District 11.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Which includes portions of Salem and all of Jervis and Woodburn. This bill would provide bargain students... This bill would provide Oregon students who are not presently legal immigrants would be eligible to pay in-state tuition at our public universities if they reside in Oregon with a parent for 3 consecutive years while attending high school, earn a high school diploma or its equivalent from an Oregon high school, and plan to become citizens or legal residents. This bill will increase the number of college-educated students in Oregon and help our economy by making universities accessible to some students who would not be able to afford an out-of-state tuition. This bill is also about fairness. These young people have paid their dues. They have satisfied all the requirements for university eligibility in the state of Oregon. They are not responsible for the actions of their parents. They have contributed much to their schools and their community. They believe they are Oregonians, and many of them have spent nearly their entire lives in Oregon schools. This bill is about helping young people get a college education by removing economic roadblocks. Education is the key to personal growth and opportunity. It is also the key to economic recovery and future of our state. So I ask you, are we better off as a society by encouraging these students to better themselves through education, or are we better off keeping them undereducated? To me, the answer is clear. That is why I think Oregon should join at least 13 other states that have enacted similar legislation. I urge your support of Senate Bill 769. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify, Chair Walker.
Senator Courtney, could I ask you a question, please?
For sure.
We had this bill last session as Senate Bill 10. Can you tell me what happened with it?
Chair Walker, Senate Bill 10 passed the Senate, I believe it was 22 or 23 yes votes. It then went to the House, and there it basically was not successful.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Can I give this one? You know, I forgot to have the committee administrator tell us what the bill does. Since you've already done that, we're going to have her just give her little spiel because
sure.
I like to let Ms. Taylor shine.
Sure, Walker. That's fine.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 769 changes residency requirements for the purpose of determining tuition and fees at institutions of higher education. A student is considered a resident if the student has lived in Oregon with a parent or legal guardian for at least 3 consecutive years while attending a secondary school, and they've received a high school diploma or its equivalent from an Oregon secondary school, and the student plans to become a citizen or legal resident alien. This bill first applies during the 2006-07 school year.
Okay, so that would be next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any questions? Thank you, Senator Courtney. We appreciate your testimony. Next, we'll bring up Ooh, I'm going to try to do this. Javier Cervantes, David McDonald, and Scott Liu. If you'll all three come up, please. And the first one to be seated can be started while the rest of you are taking care of your needs there.
Chair Walker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is David McDonald, and I'm Director of Enrollment and Student Services for the Oregon University System Chancellor's Office. A copy of my testimony is being distributed, as is a handout from the Chronicle of Higher Education, December 2004, which really addressed this issue from a national perspective. Given the number of individuals who are interested in this topic, I too will attempt, and hopefully succeed at being brief. As members of this committee are aware, the Oregon University system has placed four major priorities on its agenda as we move forward trying to provide greater opportunities for Oregonians. Those four areas include an access to a college degree, affordability of a college education, excellence in teaching and research, and economic development for the entire state. This bill addresses the first two priorities very directly, and the latter two in a more indirect manner, but sustainable. It provides a meaningful opportunity to provide students who graduated from an Oregon high school the same opportunity to attend college as all of their other peers. It's a life improvement effort that benefits all of us throughout the state. These students and their families are already parts of our local communities, and the immigration status of their parents is immaterial in the discussion of what is best for these students, along with other high school graduates who, in total, represent the future of our state. The Oregon University system is proud to support this bill. We believe that absent this bill, many of these students would not attend college despite their high levels of academic preparation and motivation. The denial of an affordable college education is our loss as a society. The challenge we've had in providing an estimate of the fiscal impact of this was truly trying to gauge how many students this bill would affect. Our best estimates, based on both OUS numbers, Oregon University System numbers, and national numbers, is approximately 30 new students a year. The fiscal analysis that the Legislative Fiscal Office has provided you is based on numbers that we provided to them. Unfortunately, in the process of getting all this material prepared, there was a serious communication error between our office and theirs. Hence, their estimate will show that this actually has a fiscal cost. Our revised numbers, which we are working with LFO to provide to the committee in a more accurate manner, would show that this particular bill would have a positive impact, since many of these students would not otherwise attend college, would not be paying tuition of any sort, and so any tuition dollars that we generate from these students is new money to the university and to the state. Again, I apologize for any mistakes and confusion that the analysis has caused, and we will work with LFO to correct that. Bottom line for us, Chair Walker, members of the committee, is we're looking at approximately, again, this is our best guess, 30 new students a year who would benefit from this statewide. Those 30 students would, over the biennium, generate almost $750,000 in tuition revenues as we compound them with new students who come on behind them. Realize also these students would not be eligible for financial aid, so they would be paying the full resident tuition, which is $5,600 approximately. With that, I would like to go ahead and shorten my testimony and just remind the committee that we supported Senate Bill 10, and we continue to provide support for this as it is another means to provide Oregonian students with a chance to attend college, which all of us know is one of the best investments a student or a society can place upon its individuals. Thank you.
Thank you. And so, Mr. McDonald, there was some confusion then with the Legislative Fiscal Office in that they're busy preparing revised statement.
We are working with them, and I would say for the record that the confusion was on our end, and so we are working with LFO to correct that.
Okay. So, colleagues, we don't have anything at our desk here, but that should be coming soon. All right. Next.
Good evening. My name is Javier Cervantes. I'm speaking on behalf of Oregon State University President Edward Ray. He could not be here due to some personal issues.
And please extend our best wishes for his continued recovery.
Most indeed. I'm going to go ahead and make it brief and capsulize what he has written in a letter that I have provided to you, Chairwoman Walker. Oregon State University is Oregon's Land, Sea, and Space Grant, Sun Grant Institution. Our mission is to serve the people of Oregon. We are committed to helping students prepare for the rest of their lives. This means not only educating them for their career, but also to be productive members of society. Whether we provide families who are permanent undocumented residents access to higher education or not, they will remain in Oregon. The question is whether they and all other Oregonians will be better off or worse by providing access to college education. It is my firm belief that with passage of SB 769, we will all be better off. Now, on a professional note, I do a lot of personal recruitment with students who have no documentation. I recently did an outreach through my office at Oregon State University that reached out to about 200 students, the majority of whom were undocumented students, many of whom desiring that opportunity to go to school as their peers have the option to do. I have personal family members who are in the same situation that would like the opportunity to attend an institution like Oregon State University. Our president is firmly behind it. We have a critical mass of people behind it in on campus. I urge you to consider this this bill in favor of SB 769.
Thank you, Mr. Cervantes. Mr. Liu?
Chair Walker and members of the Senate Education and Workforce Committee. My name is Scott Liu, and I am one of the co-chairs of the Oregon Students of Color Coalition. The Oregon Students of Color Coalition, which works to eliminate barriers to post-secondary education for Oregon's communities of color, supports Senate Bill 769. I am here today to urge you to pass Senate Bill 769, granting in-state tuition for undocumented students. There are many students across the state that, despite having attended elementary, middle, and high school here in Oregon, are deemed ineligible for in-state tuition because of their official residency status. Oregon needs to reconsider this policy. In 1982, the Supreme Court ruled that any child, regardless of immigration status, must enroll in public elementary and secondary school. The court recognized that children have no control over their residency status and held that all children have a right to education. Oregon has enacted this vision by investing in undocumented students at the primary and secondary level. But when these same students graduate from high school, often with high achievement and college qualifying records, many of them are unable to achieve their dreams of earning a college degree in the state they call home. Because many of these students come from lower income families, it will be challenging for them to even pay the drastically increasing in-state rates. Out-of-state tuitions can be as much as three times the in-state tuition rate. Senate Bill 769 would allow students to pay in-state tuition at Oregon's public universities if they met several requirements. Students must have spent 3 years in Oregon high school, have graduated or earned their equivalency, have been admitted into an Oregon University System institution, and will be working towards residency. Several states, including Washington, California, Texas, and New York, have already passed similar legislation. Also, federal legislation is pending introduction that would reform immigration law and would go much farther than Senate Bill 769 in helping undocumented students attend post-secondary education. But Oregon should not wait until Congress sorts out inconsistencies and outdated immigration policy and should act today in helping young, committed Oregonians attend college. Oregon cannot afford to lose any of its bright and promising high school graduates simply because they cannot pay for a college education. We urge you to adopt Senate Bill 769 and make a commitment to allowing all Oregonians the opportunity to pursue a degree. Thank you for your time and consideration of this important issue.
Thank you, Mr. Liu. I have a question for you. One of the requirements is that the student must plan on becoming a citizen or a legal resident alien. The bill says that that's to be determined by rule. Would that be your understanding?
Yes.
Okay. My concern is, is there any timeline here? So a student's been living here for 3, 4, 5 years. They go to college, and they're working on their residency, but there is no timeline that will be set by the department.
I'm actually not entirely sure, but I can definitely look at that for you, Cheryl.
Okay. Well, we might have someone here from the department to testify. Any questions? Senator Moore says.
Thank you, Madam Chair. refresh my memory. If a student attends a community college, does that community college allow in-state tuition for the student?
Chair Walker, Senator Morissette. So currently, community colleges don't have a difference in in-state and out-of-state tuition.
For anyone? For immigrants?
Yeah.
For this category? Okay. So if that student then wanted to transfer from a community college to either of your universities, they would have to pay out-of-state tuition to transfer from a community college where they had in-state tuition to a university where they would have to do the out-state tuition.
Chair Walker, Senator Morissette, that is correct. Residency at the university level is determined independent of the residency status conferred upon the student at the community college. So we would look at it independent of what the community colleges did.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Senator Cruz?
Question, what if the student's emancipated? Does that change the status?
Chair Walker, Senator Cruz, I am not certain on the answer. We'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Because then they aren't tied to the parents anymore at that
That's
point.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your testimony. Okay. Next, we're going to bring up Philip Kennedy Wong. Oh, I see. Philip, can you step back for a second? I forgot. We're going to switch back and forth between pro and con, so we'll take your group next. So right now I'm going to hear from Jim Ludwig. Eliz Van Steenen and Jim Elian, I think. Elian? Okay. And then after that, we'll hear from Phil Kennedy Wong, Jasmine Arias, and Anthony Granados. And please excuse me if I mispronounce your name. You can correct me when you come up to testify. Okay. Who would like to start?
Chair Walker, I would like to give up my time to Jim Ludwig since we're so limited. His presentation really needs much more than 2 minutes, so I would like to give him my time, if I may.
Okay. So, Mr. Ludwig, you have 4 minutes from now.
Chair Walker, I'm Jim Elvin, and I would also like to give my time to Jim on this issue. I think he's got far more information on this than I do.
Okay,
thank you.
I will allow that twice, but not three times. So, Mr. Ludwig, you have 6 minutes from now.
Chair Walker, members of the committee, the rule of law is one of the most important elements of American society. Most Americans agree with the principle that everybody has to obey our laws from the President of the United States on down to its newest citizen. We have a trust that our state legislator will live by the rule of law and not pick and choose which laws to enforce. Senate Bill 769 violates that trust. In the Oregon Legislative Office states the average yearly cost for in-state tuition is about $4,000. The average cost for out-of-state tuition is about $14,000. That means that if Senate Bill 769 passes, Oregon taxpayers would be required to subsidize at a tune of $10,000 per student per year for every illegal alien who took advantage of this program. Senate Bill 769 is a carbon copy of Senate Bill 10. In the last session, Senate Bill 10 passed the Senate without any cost analysis. I'd like to refer to page 1. This is the analysis from the Legislative Council last time. Do you all have a copy of that? Page 1? Okay, it's coming now. As you look at the bottom, it says assume 68 eligible students. The 68 eligible students would have cost the university system about $1.64 million a biennium. Now, if any of you had been attended the House Education Committee in the last session on Senate Bill 10, you would have heard them say, advocates say, there's tens of thousands of people who could take advantage of this program. And earlier you had speakers talk about hundreds. I don't think there'd just be 68. If only 1% of the illegal alien population in the state took advantage of this program, it'd cost the state taxpayers $10 million a year. But for the sake of argument, let's say that they're right. It's only $1.64 million. That $1.64 million would only be a drop in the bucket to what the potential cost of the state of Oregon would be. Please refer to page 2. In 1996, Congress passed the Illegal Immigration and Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act. In that act, they put Section 505 as a poison pill to dissuade states from giving in-state tuition to illegal aliens. I won't read it since I'm limited to time, but it'd be nice if you had a chance to read that Section 505. Basically, it says that any state that gives in-state tuition to illegal aliens will lose the chance to charge out-of-state tuition fees to anybody else, any other legal person in the United States. Please turn to page 3. This is a legislative council's response to Senate Bill 769. If you read just the second paragraph, our conclusion is Senate Bill 769 is not in conflict with federal legislation. However, the statement is completely contradicted by the body of the opinion. If you go down to where it's highlighted, and I'll read this, talking about Section 505 in that act. The language is not clear, and there are no court cases or federal regulations to provide interpretive guidance. As a result, a number of interpretations have been proposed. One interpretation is that a state that offers resident tuition to students who are unlawfully present would be required to offer resident tuition to all students who are citizens or legal residents, including students who are not residents of the state. On the back page, it says, an abundance of interpretations indicate Senate Section 505 is not clearly written. Some interpretations of Section 505 could mean Senate Bill 769 is in conflict with federal law. How much money could it possibly cost the state of Oregon? Please turn to page 4. This is an email from Marv Wiggle, Associate Vice Chancellor for Budget and Management for the University System. In the fiscal year 2001-2002, Oregon University Systems collected $89,584,000 in out-of-state tuition fees. A large portion of that $89 million will be jeopardized if Oregon passes Senate Bill 769. 26 states have passed, or 26 states have looked at this legislatively. 13 states have approved in-state tuition. 13 states have declined to do so. Kansas is one of the states that approved it. If you turn to page 5, you'll see a news report by a lawsuit against the state of Kansas. Kansas is one of the 13 states that passed in-state tuition. 24 students, American citizens, are suing Kansas because they had to pay out-of-state tuition while illegal aliens were able to receive taxpayer-subsidized in-state tuition fees. Please turn to page 6. This is a press release from Kansas Attorney General Phil Klein in respect to that lawsuit. And I'm going to quote Attorney General Klein. Quote, Congress, through the passage of several federal statutes, has sought to prevent the undermining of national immigration law by those states that extend benefits to people who enter this country illegally. House Bill 2145, their version of Senate Bill 769, seeks to avoid such congressional prohibitions through artful wording that may not withstand court review.
Mr. Ludwig, I'm going to stop you right there, please. You say that House Bill 2145 is similar to Senate Bill 769. Have you enclosed that with your material?
Yes, I have a copy of the lawsuit. It's got the exact same three tenets: 3 years of residency in Oregon at a high school, a graduation from a high school, and working towards citizenship.
Okay.
All 13 states that have passed it are virtually carbon copies. They all have those elements. I've got copies of the lawsuits if you'd like to have them, and I'll give them to you afterwards so you can look for that.
All right. I just want to make sure we're talking animals.
Exactly the same thing. I shouldn't say exactly. The three most important tenets are all the same.
Okay.
Attorney General Klein has refused to defend the state in this law because he feels it's illegal. He's turned it over to a subordinate. The lawsuit against Kansas is scheduled to go to federal trial at federal district court in Topeka, Kansas on April the 25th. It's withstood all challenges to it so far. Wouldn't it be prudent to see what the lawsuit comes out as before Oregon would endanger tens of millions of dollars that they receive in out-of-state tuition fees? Please turn to page 7. This is a letter to Arkansas Attorney General Phil Klein from a state senator, Jim Holt, talking about House Bill 1525. And if you take a look at it, that actually does talk about, on that same page, Chair Walker, the same criteria that you'll see in Oregon, the same criteria you'll see in Kansas. He asked, how does Senate House Bill 1525 apply to federal law? The quote from Attorney General Mike Beebe, quote, "Although we do not have benefit of judicial interpretation, it's my opinion that House Bill 1525 may violate federal statutes if the courts read the high school attendance and graduation requirements as tantamount to residency. Additionally, I believe the bill may give rise to equal protection challenge if enacted into law." On the backside, he goes on to further state, with regard to the first federal statute, was enacted as part of the Legal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility of 1996, the same one that I'm telling you about. He goes on to say, in closing, "It is my opinion, for the foregoing reasons, House Bill 1525 may be subject to challenge under federal law." Senator Walker, members of the committee, no one knows if this is in violation of federal law. It would be crazy for Oregon to jeopardize tens of millions of dollars to pass this bill without at least finding out how the courts are going to rule on it. And we have a chance to find that out. If anybody has any thoughts yet that this bill may not be in conflict with federal law, please look at page 8. Utah is one of the 13 states that passed in-state tuition for illegal aliens. At least Utah was honest enough to admit it was against federal law, but they thought they had an ace in the hole, a powerful U.S. Senator, Orrin Hatch. They went to Orrin Hatch and asked him to repeal Section 505 of the 1996 law. Senator Hatch has twice now entered the DREAM Act, and that is the only thing the DREAM Act does, is repeal Section 505. He has been unsuccessful in getting it passed. It has never passed out of the Senate, and he's been told it's dead in the House. Folks, there is absolutely no reason for the DREAM Act, if it wasn't against the law, to give in-state tuition for illegal aliens. There'd be no need for that bill. The last document is an opinion by Michael Heath Hethman. He is the lead attorney in the lawsuit against Kansas. And if you read that, it's a direct opinion on Senate Bill 769, and to quote him briefly, he states, "My opinion is such a conflict exists and the proposed legislation is fundamentally flawed on legal constitutional grounds." Let me conclude by saying no one knows if this is in conflict with federal law. It would just be prudent for Oregon to at least wait. Now, I'm totally opposed against the law because I believe that it does a number of things. It's an affront to every American who believes in the rule of law. It's a slap in the face to everybody who's immigrated to the United States illegally and played by the rules. And it steals spaces in our university system from legal immigrants and citizens. And finally, it's a knife in the back to Oregon taxpayers who would have to subsidize it. And if you pass it, it would belie any claim the university system has if they have funding problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ludwig. I'm just going to make one comment. In your recitation of the Legislative Council Committee letter of March 24, 2005, Representative Krupp, you highlighted only one part of the paragraph. You said, "As the abundance of interpretations indicate, Section 505 is not clearly written. Some interpretations of Section 505 could mean that Senate Bill 769 conflicts with federal law." The part you didn't highlight, Mr. Ludwig, is the second part of that paragraph. And it says, "However, we conclude, based on the more persuasive and common interpretation of Section 505, that Senate Bill 769 is not in conflict with Section 505.
You're right, Chairman. There's a lot more I could have said. You'll read other quotes in there that basically say they don't honestly know. Mm-hmm. And you can weigh what they say against Attorney General Mike Beebe from Arkansas or Attorney General Phil Klein. I don't know who's right. All I know is Kansas is facing a lawsuit on this very issue.
Okay.
And it seemed to me prudent to wait to see how that plays out before you proceed on.
All right. Mr. Ludwig, I really appreciate you giving us this information. You came to my office earlier in the session, and I appreciated you then, and I appreciate it now. And the committee will have to weigh this information very carefully, but we do thank you. Any other questions? Okay, and
thank you so much
for yielding your time. Okay, now Phil Kennedy Wong, Jasmine Arias, and Anthony Granados, and then after that we will go to Peter Dane, Rick Hickey, and Doug Smith.
Chair Walker, members of the committee, for record, I'm Philip Kennedy Wong with EMO, that's Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. We are the State Association of Churches representing 17 Christian denominations. I bid you a good evening. We wholeheartedly support the efforts of people who wish to advance themselves by pursuing higher education. And it is for this reason we support Senate Bill 769. Pursuing higher education is no small effort. It requires personal responsibility, self-discipline, hard work, dedication, commitment, financial resources, and the support of family members. It also requires that unnecessary barriers be removed so that individuals can pursue the American dream. Senate Bill 769 is about fairness and the ability to fulfill human potential under the eyes of God. Senate Bill 69 removes barriers that face many individuals and families with an immigrant heritage, a quality that many of us share, including myself. These financial and regulatory barriers are unnecessary and discriminatory. Why should a student who attended an Oregon high school for at least 3 years and graduated from there be required to pay out-of-state tuition when others do not? What message does it send to the immigrants in this community and in this country whom we rely on so much for putting food on our tables, cleaning our buildings, manufacturing our goods, caring for our elderly, and yes, fighting for liberty and democracy in Iraq and Afghanistan? One of the earlier casualties, I need to remind committee members, in the war against terrorism was a soldier that did not have legal status. So the question is, that are we punishing people who are seeking a better life for their children, who are leaving and uprooting themselves from their homeland to escape poverty, or that in spite of their pro-family decision that their children are going to be condemned to low education and low-wage jobs? These regulations do have a chilling effect on immigrant communities and reflect poorly on those of us who have prospered in this country, including myself. These regulations need to be changed to reflect a societal commitment to educating our children regardless of their legal status. We must stay true to America's noble ideals as reflected on our enduring freedom, symbol of freedom, the Statue of Liberty. And let me just quickly quote here. I'm sure many of you have heard of this poem. It's the Lazarus poem, which says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," which is the quote that many of us hear. But let me finish that, because there's a second part of it that not many of us hear often. That is, "Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp besides the golden door." And that means it's a door of opportunity. We must encourage people and immigrants alike to pursue a higher education. So we ask you to remove these unnecessary, burdensome regulations and support Senate Bill 769. And I wanted to quickly address a question that Senator Walker had in terms of putting a timeline for citizenship status. I'm no expert on immigration, but I do know people who have tried to gain citizenship, and it's a long and arduous process, so I'm not sure if the state of higher education can necessarily put, like, a timeline for a person to attain their citizenship. I mean, I've known people who it's taken as long as 15 years just to gain some sort of legal status. So, I mean, to put a timeline, on this, it would have to take into consideration whatever process the federal government takes in order to, implement a citizenship request. Thank you very much.
Well, I think, Mr. Wong, the bill anticipates that some timeline will be put in place, and that argument will have to be done before the department when they draft rules. But there does have to be some movement toward that. And I realize it's more difficult now since 9/11, much more difficult. It takes a lot longer to get your paperwork through.
Chair Walker, I agree with that statement. I mean, I think essentially we need to take into sort of consideration how long the process is when making that determination, because if we create a timeline that's unrealistic, then it would essentially present more problems than we would like to have with what this bill is trying to address.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I apologize, there has been a minor change. I'm not Jasmine Arias, although I wish I was. my name is Cassandra Villanueva. I'm a resident of Portland, and I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 769. And more than anything, I'm here today because I'm gravely concerned with the future of Oregon. I'm more gravely concerned that there's more youth of color who are in correctional institutions than there are in higher education institutions. I'm gravely concerned that the pathway from the schoolhouse to the jailhouse is more clearly paved than the pathway from high school to college and universities. I understand that our state is facing major dilemmas. Funding more education options or funding more incarceration options. But what I don't understand is why we're robbing the future of our children, the children of Oregon, who we tell to shoot for the stars. We keep them from their success and from opening those doors of opportunities that they've worked so hard to earn. Our state, we all know this, cannot continue like this. If we don't keep these doors to higher education accessible and open for all who wish to learn and succeed, then we might as well tell kindergartners that there is no tomorrow, that they can't be a teacher, a doctor, or a fireman, and that they will never have a chance to reach their dreams because of where they were born. Today, you have a very complex question before you with a very simple, straightforward answer. Support the future of our children in Oregon. Support the passage of SB 769. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Villanueva. Ms. Arias is probably a very beautiful and lovely person, but you did a great job yourself, so don't sell yourself short. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Starr, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Anthony Granados, representing the Oregon Catholic Conference. The Oregon Catholic Conference officially represents the Catholic bishops of Oregon in matters of public policy in service to the Catholic population of more than 400,000 in the pursuit of the common good. Modeled on the Federal Dream Act of 2003, sponsored by Senators Orrin Hatch and Richard Durbin, Senate Bill 769 would move in a positive direction to remove barriers to higher education for students raised in the U.S. but who lack legal residency status. Senate Bill 769 requires that a student have resided in this state with a parent or legal guardian for the last 3 years. It also requires that the student have received a high school diploma or its equivalent from a secondary school in this state. Lastly, this bill calls for the student to have plans to become a citizen or legal resident alien. One of the principal components of Catholic social teaching is to recognize the inherent human dignity of all persons. Church teaching also recognizes that people have a right to an education. In reaching out to a promising group of persons by providing this opportunity, our state stands to benefit greatly by their contributions and talents. In addition, I would like to add, there's been much discussion in the public sphere lately around many different issues regarding the rule of law, and while certainly the Church supports the rule of law, it also understands that human positive law can at times be in itself unjust, and in that sense is not truly a law. The Oregon Catholic Conference strongly supports SB 769 and urges this committee and the Oregon Legislature to pass it. Thank you for considering this testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Granados. Any questions? Thank you, all three of you, for testifying. We appreciate it. Okay, next we'll hear from Peter Dane, Rick Hickey, and Doug Smith. And then after that, we'll hear from Eduardo Angulo, Natividad Silva, and Amy Torres. My Spanish is very rusty. Someone take the mic, please.
Senator Walker and members of the committee, my name is Peter Dane. I'm here to testify on Senate Bill 769. I have a comment. Is that I stopped by the legislative fiscal office earlier, and they said that I was entitled to the fiscal impact report for this bill. Is it available?
We don't have it yet.
Okay.
It's not prepared. Otherwise, we'd be happy to share it with you.
Okay, Senator Walker. Well, if I may, I'd like to make some comments.
Mm-hmm.
You may have my written notes in front of you.
We will in a moment.
Okay, I'll wait then.
Well, no, sir, go ahead. We can follow.
Well, Senate Bill 769 sets an unethical standard for Oregon colleges. The wording of the bill is contradictory. How can an illegal resident be suddenly declared a legal one for the purpose of receiving an entitlement? Native American students graduating from Chimahua Indian School who are out-of-state residents don't qualify for the less expensive resident college tuition. I've included a page from the newspaper for that. That is not equity in education. Senate Bill 769 is another form of a special education program that has caused a dramatic increase in the cost of education to taxpayers. It takes away from other students. I've included a newspaper article addressing that. And finally, out of all due respect to all students, the state of Oregon should not reward persons who are illegal residents with additional educational entitlements. I urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 769. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dane. We were not aware that students at Chimahua School were not eligible for in-state tuition. I appreciate that information.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the committee. You are?
My name is Richard Hickey. I'm from Salem. Chair, members of the committee, I live in Salem. I'm opposed to SB 769. Please understand, though, I'm not opposed to legal immigration. I myself am the great-grandchild of immigrants myself. I just want to explain real quick why I think this may not be a good idea. Basically, to understand that, we need to understand just a little bit of what the taxpayers of this great state are already spending on the education of immigrant children. And I'd like to start with a short letter that expresses my concerns. This letter was written in the Statesman Journal last year by Ms. Rebecca Perez, and she asks a simple question. How much does it cost to educate an illegal immigrant from grades 1 to 12, and how much would it cost the taxpayers to send an illegal immigrant child to college? As a person of Hispanic descent, my comments are not welcomed by many in my community, but the bottom line is money. To answer this important question about education costs asked by many, let's take a look at what the taxpayers are already spending. Consider here in the state of Oregon, we have almost 50,000 kids in an English language learners program. Simple math. 50,000 kids in EOL times 7,000 a year, I'm being very conservative, that's already $350 million a year. Are we already spending $350 million a year on immigrant children? Nobody really knows. For some reason, we don't ask. I know legally to immigrate to America, you do have to pass an English proficiency test. So it's possible. I don't know. The fact is, though, that the cost of these programs are taking millions of dollars away from the American students. Why? How? Because the spending is not spread equally. Children from non-English-speaking countries already receive 50% more in funding every year from the state of Oregon. At my child's grade school, we have to do fundraising every year, all year long, just to provide basic needs. One last example of money already being disproportionately spent on immigrant children is the fact that because schools can lose funding for every child who becomes proficient in English, therefore many students remain in these ELL programs for 7 years, some as long as all 12 years. A retired school administrator, Mr. Miguel Salinas, says, and I quote, "Why should they graduate these kids from ELL programs when they're generating all of this revenue? Why should they be in a hurry?" Chair, members of the committee, fellow Oregonians, yes, America is a nation of immigrants who want a better life, like my great-grandparents. But we have to be a nation of laws also, or the result is complete chaos. We cannot send the wrong message to the children of immigrants. These children should understand that Oregonians who do follow the law should not be punished for doing so. There are a finite number of places in college available each year, and each one that is filled by someone who is in the country illegally means that some other student who has violated no laws cannot attend. I have two little boys. They'll be in our school system one time. Only one time. Please do not take more state money away from my little boys. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your taking the time. I know you guys have a tough job up there, and appreciate your work.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. I appreciate it. I would like to remind you that a great deal of the English language money comes from federal dollars.
Okay. Can I comment on that?
Mm-hmm.
Even though that does come from federal dollars, the federal government gets their money from all of us.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sir?
Thank you. My name is Doug Smith. For example, if we had 200 students getting this break at $10,000 per year, that'd be $2 million per student per year in higher education. It's my understanding there's only one place that money can come from, and that's from the higher tuition rates for existing students, because I don't believe the state is going to put any more extra money to pay for this. This means also that the parents of these students who are already there are going to be double cost for their tax, for their tuition rates to pay for their own children, also to subsidize this extra cost for these extra students who are illegal aliens. If I can briefly talk about what happened 2 years ago. This bill went through the Senate fairly quickly, but when it got to the House side, Vic Backlund, who was the head of the committee, as soon as he saw the fiscal analysis, he simply killed the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Any questions in the committee?
I have one.
Yes, Senator Deckert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate the testimony. I know this is a sensitive issue. Taking aside the whole issue of legal immigration and putting that aside, for me, and because that's just a much larger debate, for me, I guess the principal issue here is looking into the eyes of that student who's done everything right, who's played by the rules, who did not have a choice in terms of where they would live, but obviously has learned not only the language, but has excelled and has the merit to get into increasingly difficult institutions to get into. And I guess the central question for me, but I would welcome your thoughts, is how as a state or how as a state senator do I in any way deny that student or that individual their God-given right to excel and to fulfill their lives by increasing their tuition against a student like me who actually went to the University of Oregon and society did a great deal for me, but I would give that student who's had such a tougher go at it than I ever had, I would want to give them extra benefits rather than fewer.
I went through the same thing. I went to Portland State and Oregon State, and I played by the rules. But the taxpayers are subsidizing this money, and they're only going to put up so much money. You're having a problem putting up enough money right now for higher education. You're not going to put up any more, are you?
Well, I'll fight that.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, it's pretty well given that you're going to put out so much money this year for higher education. The only place that's left is higher tuition rates for existing students. And they're hurting really bad right now.
Which was just passed again at Chemeketa. They just raised tuition. They raised tuition at OSU and U of O last year. And in most of these states where they have passed this, they have had a tuition increase the next week after they passed these laws. My grade school, it's a small grade school in Salem, but it's hard not to get a little frustrated at times when our principal is the principal of a Title I school with immigrant, a large population of immigrant children and our school, and we worked really hard for 2 years to raise a measly $5,000 so there could be some computer software. And he commented in our PTA meeting, I'm a board member of the PTA there, that the Title I school received $50,000 in computer and they didn't work at all for that. And I hear that from him constantly, how they're just handed all kinds of things while we don't have music, sports, we don't have art, we have to buy our library books. I just feel that the one thing you can tell the kids is we can't continue to look the other way. Mom and it's not your fault, you're right. Mom and Dad made a mistake. I'm sorry about that. Mom and Dad should know better than that. And we can't pass that on to where you're raised up thinking, what law? That's silly. Who cares? We can't do that.
Senator Dickert, Mr. Hickey raised an interesting point. I've asked Ms. Taylor to do some research to see if tuition rates increased in the 13 states that passed this legislation and whether it was directly related to the legislation.
Okay. And what was the answer?
I don't know. I've just slipped her a note, okay, and she'll do the research and get back to me.
Madam Chair.
I wish she was quicker like that, like a computer, but Ms. Taylor's human. Thank you. Yes. Senator Dickert.
Well, I mean, just on that score, I can almost guarantee that if you look at the tuition rates across the country, because there's been a national disinvestment in higher education, and in your story, sir, about K through 12 in the past years, Oregon, which was ranked, I think, 12th 7 years ago in per student funding, and now we are $1,000 less than the national average in terms of K through 12 spending. So to me, that is a critical. I mean, how we fund schools and universities, and the disinvestment that our state has decided, the course we've set, is, I think, tragic.
We're down to Mississippi now, I think.
You're correct. I mean, we are at the bottom of the list. We led the country in cuts to higher education, but to me, that issue is, and I know I would disagree with you on this, but it is divorced from the bill that we have before us today.
Senator, I'd like to respectfully make a comment. As
can
adult,
your name again, sir?
Oh, my name is Peter Dane.
Thank you, Mr.
And in regards to your comment about looking in children's eyes, as an adult, how you're different from a child is that you have to be responsible, and it's more than just an emotional issue. It's a fiscal issue. It's a question about helping other social programs in the state. Education right now takes the lion's share of the budget, and there's a lot of handicapped persons and the disadvantaged and homeless who don't have the funding because of education, because somebody wants to be Santa Claus. So I respectfully ask that you make objective decisions, not emotional ones. Thank you.
Question by Senator Starr.
No comment. You suppose that we're losing, if we do this, we're losing millions. In fact, the two state universities testified to the fact that, in fact, we get additional monies that we would not otherwise get. $750,000, if we had, I forget the exact testimony, but that is the other side of the fact, unstated by you, that if these students don't attend, they don't get any money from them, and if they do attend, they get money that they would not otherwise get.
You talked about $700,000. We're unaware of where that money would come from.
From the tuition, the in-state tuition paid. The in-state tuition paid.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about the $10,000 difference.
Yeah, you're talking about a loss, but there's no loss if they don't enroll.
Yeah. Well, somebody's going to have to come up with $10,000 per year per student.
No, and they would not have additional cost if they added 60 students at the University of Oregon. They would not have that additional cost that you're talking about.
Well, I could be wrong. Excuse me. I worked at Oregon State for 10 years, and I was aware of how it's run. Basically, it's my understanding. I could be very wrong. I apologize if I'm wrong. But the out-of-state students are treated like a private school. They make a teeny bit of profit. So they're basically students at cost. The in-state students are highly subsidized by the taxpayers. So the difference is the difference the taxpayers put in. Am I reading you right? The way you stated it at first, you made it sound like there's some magic federal money that comes in out of nowhere, and I don't understand.
No. I'm saying that Oregon University system testified early in this hearing that 30 new students in the fall of 2005, 2006, 2007
and 20 from each class continuing on to the sophomore year, generating tuition of $5,670 per student. In-state tuition would generate approximately $740,000. That would be money the university didn't otherwise have for their operation.
That's looking at it from the university's standpoint, because they're being subsidized by other money that comes from the state, from you guys.
I'm not having a debate with you. Okay. Just stating another view of the issue.
Well, Senator, I'd like to respectfully make one last comment.
This will be the last one.
Yes, ma'am. It's basic arithmetic. You didn't mention what the cost of educating each student is, and the state budget across the board has been running at a deficit. So let's get back to basic math, which you're not teaching in the schools anymore, and the student's tuition would be far less than the cost of educating that student. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your testimony. We've been doing fairly well at staying at 2 minutes each, and the reason for that is because we have questions that we may like to ask. So just want to remind you, the next group is Eduardo, Angelo, Natividad Silva, and Amy Torres, and then after that we'll hear from David Hamilton, Mike Forrest, and Henry Hammond. Go ahead and start.
Madam Chair, members of the Committee on Education. For the record, my name is Eduardo Angulo. I am the chairman of the Salem-Kaiser Coalition for Equality. We are 11 community organizations here in the Marion County area, starting with Mano Mano Family Center, Latinos Unidos Siempre, PECUN, our Farm Workers Union, the Salem-Kaiser NAACP, the Salem-Kaiser NAACP U chapter, Citizens for Livable Communities, Migrant and Bilingual Parents Association, Willamette University Metro Students, and it hurts to hear some of the mean comments sometimes talking about this important issue of fair chance for exceptional students that happen to be undocumented students. When people talk about taxpayers, we should talk about taxpayers that do not get a return. All those undocumented, hard-working people that keep this economy going. Many of them that do not have a social security, that never get a dime back from their hard-earned taxes. They pay taxes, they never get it back. But going back to the issue of giving a chance, the Supreme Court back in 1982 said it very clear, set the standard for this nation of immigrants. It says every child that is in the United States should get the chance of a fair education from K to 12. I mean, the benefits, not only to that person, to that person's family, but the benefits to society, to the most grandiose democracy in the world. The contribution that these students could give to our nation, to our state of Oregon, I think that the arguments are overwhelming that these students deserve. And many of them came here not on their own will. Their parents have been breaking their backs to keep this Oregon economy going out of recession. I think that some of us, you know, say, listen, it is the right thing to do. It is the fair thing to do. Not only for them, but for Oregon's future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chair Walker and members of the committee, my name is Natividad Silva. I'm a 26-year-old single mother of two children. I'm here today to appeal to you to support tuition equity, Senate Bill 769. I believe it's important for this bill to pass because it would open doors to many students deserving an opportunity to fulfill their dreams, like myself. I am currently attending Manhood Community College, and I'm graduating with a transfer degree in business administration this year. My goal is to transfer to a four-year university to obtain a degree in business, in finance, and accounting. However, due to my legal status, I am being denied access to my dream. My application for residency has been in process for the last 4 years. The time frame is unknown at this point, although it seems it would take another 4 to 5 years more. This situation is not uncommon for many students that are trying to get residency. It's a process that takes years, and we have no control over. With the current situation, I will not be able to attend a four-year university because out-of-state tuition is out of my reach, as well as for many others. I've been an Oregon resident for the last 14 years. I attended Reynolds Middle School, Reynolds High School, and now Manhood Community College. Throughout the years, I have spent endless hours volunteering for my community, as well as working low-paying jobs. My dream has been to become financially independent and continue to contribute to this country's economy. Without this bill, I will not be able to attend to become financially independent for myself and my family. Oregon is my home. I have proven to be a productive citizen, so please pass this bill so I can live out my dream. Thank you for your time and support.
Ms. Silva?
Yes.
Thank you for your testimony. You have a Social Security card and you pay taxes, do you not?
I do pay taxes, yes.
Okay.
I have been paying taxes.
And working at low-wage jobs, but you're paying taxes nonetheless, right?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Torres?
Senator Walker and members of the committee, my name is Amy Torres. I am the co-chair of Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano Aztlán Mecha at Western Oregon University. I am here today to urge you to support Senate Bill 769. The reason I support Senate Bill 769 because I know many students benefit from this bill passing. I grew up in Hillsboro, and I was fortunate to graduate from Century High School. During my high school years, I saw many students drop out of high school because they did not have the legal documentation to continue into higher education. Also living in Salem area, I have had the opportunity to work with a significant amount of bright high school students who have worked and are working extremely hard to learn a second language and complete all the required courses in English. Many of these students have the dreams to continue into higher education, but know that it will be unrealistic for them to go to college because of the cost. I believe that this bill will help many students achieve their dream that they may have never otherwise not achieved. I feel that if Senate Bill 769 is passed, then it will open the doors for Oregon high school graduates. In June, I will be beginning the Masters of Arts teaching program at George Fox University. When I complete this program and become a teacher in the public school education system, and my student asks me, can I go to college? I've been here since I was two. What am I supposed to say? No? It sounds extremely unreasonable that these students that have been completed their education and received a diploma are not allowed to pay in-state tuition because of their documentation status. I urge you to support this bill because otherwise I feel that I will not be able to walk into my classroom and tell my students that education is a right, not a privilege. Thank you for your time.
I have to ask you, one of the things that struck me while you were testifying here was that you have a desire to get a higher education degree, but it will cost you a great deal more to do that. You've been a tax-paying citizen of the state. You want to become a greater wage earner and pay more taxes. You've lived in Oregon, Ms. Silva, for 14 years. Ms. Torres, how long have you lived here?
I was born here.
You were born here, for heaven's sakes. Okay. I mean, I think, and are you considered a resident? Do you have resident status?
Yeah, I'm here urging just as a future educator that this needs to be passed. I have worked my butt off as a lot of other students that probably even did better than I did and did not have the opportunity to go into higher education because of cost.
Okay. I think I'm answering my own questions, but I do really thank you very much for coming. And Eduardo, it was good to see you again. And can you just comment on the English as a second language money? Because you've been in my office talking to me about that. I know you can give me the half-hour version, but can you give me the 60-second?
Chair Senator Walker, when we talk about the monies that go supposedly to ESL students that need to benefit with classes to learn English, I think that the gentleman that testified before was right. There is an allocation of monies that go to English second language students, which we know that most of the school districts throughout Oregon have been using the lion's share of those monies to subsidize other programs on the backs of these students that are doing at the 30 percentile in reading, writing, and doing math.
Thank you. Do you have a comment?
No, I would just agree.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay.
Madam Chair, I would, while you're having Ms. Taylor look up things, I would be interested, because tuition pays for roughly 30% of the cost of a year of college. We budget for the rest of it, and I would like to know how many students we budget for, how close we are to a match there, or do we actually have more students than we put in the budget, and if we do, how that's made up.
Okay. All right. Next we have David Hamilton, Mike Forrest, and Henry Hammond, and then following this group of three, we'll have Alice Perry, Rosa Z, and Yancy Raya. Welcome, gentlemen. Okay. Would you like to start, sir?
David Hamilton. I live in Almsville. I'm urging the Senate to oppose Bill 769. This grants discount tuition to illegal aliens while denying it to our fellow American citizens in neighboring states. In my view, this makes it unfair in this time of limited funds for education. It's unfair to grant privileges to illegal aliens that are denied to fellow American citizens. The worst kind of unfairness is an unfairness which is also expensive. My mother is 88 years old. She's blind. She lives in Portland. She recently contributed money to the local school system, thinking no doubt that it would go to her great-grandchildren. I'd like to know who wants to explain to her why it's a good idea for that money to go for the education of people who are not citizens. Under the proposed legislation, Osama bin Laden could immigrate here illegally and get discount tuition. Is this what we want?
He's rich. I think he should pay for his own school.
Thank you, sir. You are?
My name is Henry Hammond, and I'm opposed to this Senate Bill 769. I guess I'm opposed based on tuition. My understanding of tuition in the college system is that only covers about 25 to 30% of the actual cost of the college education. So that means, you know, we have between 70 and 75% that is funded, you know, basically on the taxpayers. And I don't think it's fair that a non-citizen should be funded so greatly. Basically, all they're going to have to put out is a very small portion, basically, is of the tuition. You know, you're talking about in-state or out-of-state tuition. you know, we're already going to be funding between 70% and 75% of a college education for somebody who's not a citizen of this country. Do I view that having a non-citizen as a out-of-state rates is punishment? I don't believe it. So I don't believe that's punishment for somebody in that situation. Not as the taxpayers. I think that this is something that's been brought on by the parents or legal guardian or whatever who put them in this position. But I don't think that me as a taxpayer, I should be having to subsidize somebody's college education because of somebody else's, you know, parents or guardians and things such as that. We're already mandated to pay K through 12 for people in this position. But now we're going to try and mandate where we're going to have to pay, you know, subsidize their college education as well. I just don't think that's right. You know, there is no shortage of college students right now. Colleges here in Oregon right now are my understanding is they're at their highest levels that they've ever been as far as student population. So it's not like we're hurting for students. We already have plenty. We have waiting lists to get into colleges. So I don't understand why we would have to subsidize people to come into this system that basically aren't paying their fair share already.
Mr. Hammond, I would probably dispute with you that we have a waiting list to get into our universities. I've not heard any such testimony in the Ways and Means Committee. If you can show me otherwise, I'd stand to be corrected.
I would have to research that, ma'am.
We do, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
We do have, at a couple of our institutions, declining enrollment, which are looking for. You have a couple of universities that are definitely hot universities with high demand, but you have a couple of universities within our system that are declining enrollment that would welcome additional students, and kind of make Senator Starr's point in some way because they're needing to incent a few more students in.
Pretty much statewide, aren't we at our highest enrollment levels ever?
Well, I can name a couple institutions within the system that
a couple.
One is Western Oregon University that would welcome, it's mm-hmm. declining enrollment and would like a few more students.
All right. Well, thank you for your testimony, sir. Welcome.
Thank you.
You are?
Mike Forrest. I'm from Salem.
Great.
And Chair Walker and committee. I'm here. I can't give you any statistics, but I am a father of five. I'm a fourth generation. My children are fifth. When I read this bill, I was shocked, and then I was angry. It's even, and I'll give you a reason why. Because this bill does reward illegal alien status. No ifs, ands, or buts. My son is currently a full-time Chemeketa student. He works half-time to three-quarter-time in a minimum-wage job. He has loans he's got to pay back when he graduates. And I found out last week he's selling plasma to make ends meet. And he's a legal citizen. And that's why I say, with all due respect, Chair Walker, Senator Deckard, I would like you to look in my son's face and tell him why there's not enough money and why he has to get plasma. That would bother me. And SB 769, when I looked at this, is asking me and other Oregonians to subsidize education for illegal immigrants when I can't even afford it for my own kids. Something is wrong. Terribly wrong.
Amen.
I love my kids more than anything, and I wish I could pay for them a full college education, but I can't. I help them where I can. All I can say is, as a father and an Oregonian, I ask you, do not let 769 pass. We need to take care of Oregonians, regardless of ethnicity, whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's take care of Oregonians. That should be our number one concern at this point. And Senator Walker and Chair, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your testimony. All right.
I'll hear next from Alice Perry, Rosa Z, and Yancy Raya. And after that, I'll hear from Sue Hitz, Howard Grimes, and Ludwig Hitz. And we're doing very well on time. I appreciate all of you sticking to our timelines today. Okay.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rosa, and my parents brought me here 12 years ago so that I could have a better life. I attend a Salem Kaiser District High School. I do my best to keep my grades to an average with the hope that I can go beyond high school. All around me, every day I hear my teachers tell me and others that if we work for it and that if we try our best, we can, the doors of opportunity would open themselves to us. But I also see and hear about many students not go beyond high school because they are not legal citizens. And just because of that, ladies and gentlemen, they do not have the opportunity to go to college. Our government puts the jobs out on the market, but yet they are the ones that put the barriers. And those barriers are that we do not have documents and we are not citizens. So therefore, college can only be a dream that we hope one day can come true. Almost every day I also hear at least one person complain about the dropout rate. Those numbers, most of those numbers, ladies and gentlemen, are students that have been successful in high school, but because they knew that they were going to be denied the opportunity to go to college, they just gave up. And the others are here asking you to please pass this bill. I ask you, listen to me when I tell you that this bill will help a lot of hardworking students that want to go to school, that want to have a career, that want to have the life that our parents brought us here to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosa.
Dear Senator Walker and members of the committee, my name is Yancy Isabel Raya Martinez, and I'm a student at Western Oregon University. I was born in Mexico. I immigrated to the United States at the age of 8, and I continued with my education in the state of Oregon and finally graduated from high school in the year 2004. It never crossed my mind that I would someday attend a public university. I was an illegal alien along with my family. I figured that like my brother, my chances of pursuing a higher education would be the same. By saying it, it would be the same. I mean that I would end up working at a McDonald's for the rest of my life because that would be the only place that my high school diploma will take me to. Luckily for me, I became a resident 2 days. 2 days before I was to declare my residential status on my financial aid form. I was happy for myself, but I was also upset because it didn't come in time to support my older brother's education. Now that I'm attending Western Oregon University, I know that I'm not just living my dream, but I'm also living my brother's dream. I remember many times when my brother would ask himself why he could not have the same chances as any human being to pursue a higher education. Unfortunately, I was too young to understand the government, and I was unable to answer him. Back in those days, I believed that I did not have the power to change government. As I have grown up and take my education to a higher level, I know that my voice counts. I believe that the education of today's youth should not be decided on a person's ethnic background, but instead in their hard work on education. Therefore, I ask that the Senate Bill 769 be passed. And to make a comment on what someone earlier said, that we would only have to pay a small amount, that is untrue. Even though if this bill passes, that those students will not get financial aid. I'm a resident, and what I got from financial aid was loans that I myself have to pay back. How am I paying my way to college? During the summer, I work 2.5 jobs, and I'm also a cadet at the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office. I volunteer a lot of my time to youth education, and I'm doing it for them now because this is not affecting me any longer, but it's going to affect them. Thank you.
Senator Morissette.
Yeah, thank you for your testimony. I'm interested in the residency requirement that you received, and so you, how old were you when you came?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old, and you did receive your residency, which made it
possible for
possible
me.
Possible for you then to enroll at the university. Now, the question was asked earlier about the residency process. Why? Okay, if you're here when you're 2 years old, you ought to be. Why have you not received a residency if you've been here that long? But could you tell me a little bit about the process?
The process of it's first of all, it takes a lot of money for the process to get going. You have to pay a lawyer. You have to pay, I believe there's a certain amount of fees for immigrating here for each member of your family. Another thing is, it's just, it takes a lot for your, there's a lot of people out there applying for it. It took 10 years exactly for us, for our residency to get approved.
Excuse me, is this, you're talking state or federal? State. You're talking state residency.
State. Yes.
No?
Federal.
You're talking federal residency. Yeah. Okay. So that's why it takes so long then, because it's, there's nothing that we can do to speed it up at the state level.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, that was going to be my question, Senator Morissette. So it's very good we're thinking along the same line. So, Yancy, it took your family 10 years.
10 years.
And now all of you are
residents? Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. It was very much appreciated, all of you. And I think we have one more to hear from. Ms. Perry?
Chair Walker, members of the committee, my name is Alice Perry, and I'm here today on behalf of the American Friends Service Committee's Project Voice to state our full support for Senate SB 769 tuition equity. The American Friends Service Committee, or AFSC, is an 88-year-old Quaker organization whose mission is to seek peace and justice. Project Voice is an initiative sponsored by AFSC to support and strengthen the voices of immigrants and immigrant-led organizations as they seek fuller integration into their new communities. During our day-to-day work, we encounter many immigrants who face a variety of challenges and very often extreme hardships in their efforts to lead a dignified life. And we work with immigrants and their children that finding their basic needs, studying the history of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the International Declaration of Human Rights. And we discern how these basic human needs have become to be recognized internationally as human rights. And as other people have mentioned here today, that our own Supreme Court recognized the right of undocumented children to receive a public education, not only for their benefit, but for the benefit of our whole society. Despite the many hardships that these children face, many of the students have worked hard throughout elementary and secondary school, urged on by parents, teachers, counselors, and indeed the media to work hard to continue with school, to strive for higher education, not only for to better their life, but to more fully contribute to our society. It is disillusioning then when these students are met with insurmountable financial roadblocks brought on by their immigration status or that of their parents. Most of these students are not eligible for financial aid, and many other scholarships are tied to those financial aid forms. For these students who have been living and studying here, then to also face out-of-state tuition is not only unfair, it is unwise. SB 769 would give these hardworking students a chance to continue giving us their best, and we as a society advance when all of our community members have the opportunity to advance and to contribute to their fullest capacity. I urge you not to let this opportunity pass. And I just have one additional comment as a parent of four little boys, and I think that we can look at things as barriers or as opportunities. And my child's school is not a school that receives a lot of money, and we have citizens, we have refugees, we have undocumented students there, and we also have to raise funds, but it's provided us as an opportunity to build our community together in building the funds to further the arts programs and the community building, and it's been an opportunity for us to work together. And I think that I don't want to see any citizen student denied an opportunity or having to sell their plasma to go to school, but I think that we can find more creative ways to fund our education and not have either child pay that expense.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Any questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming. All right, we'll have Sue Hitz, Howard Grimes, and Ludwig Hitz, and then after that, Jose Sandoval, Antonio Torres, and, oh, Alice, you're on here again. I think I'll scratch you. And then we'll put Silvio Foote up there. I think that's what I see as an F. Okay. Would you like to start over here first, sir?
I did have written testimony, but most of the predecessors have covered what I intended to cover quite well, probably better than I could have. Chair Walker and members of the committee.
And your name, sir?
I'm Ludwig Hitz.
Okay.
I'm from Woodburn, Oregon.
Thank you.
I hear a lot about equity in education or education equity. I think opposing Senate Bill 69 would provide that equity in education. As my niece graduated from Washington State University, lived in Washington, she's currently enrolled in Oregon Law School. She's paying out-of-state tuition, just like these people would have to pay, and she's got a lot of bills piling up. I talked to her yesterday, and it looks like there might be somewhere around $35,000 in loans she's going to have to pay back just for the University of Oregon. Now, these people have the same opportunity as I do, and if you pass Measure 769, you're providing an inequity for citizens of the United States that are legal. And I certainly hope that you will scuttle this bill. It's inequity right there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You must be Mr. Grimes.
Yes, I'm Howard Grimes.
Grimes, sorry.
Marie.
Okay.
I was in WW2 and flew 21 missions over Germany, and we're still not speaking German. I might also add that I went to college after I was discharged, and I appreciated that. But currently, my grandsons, one is in the Air Force, and the reason he's there is because he wants a college education. Now, that is a way that I don't think that bill has ever been changed ever since 1945. So, and I think if this committee would like to do something for citizens of Oregon and other places, maybe they ought to reduce the tuition a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chairman Walker, Vice Chairman Starr, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to be here. I apologize, but I didn't know until almost 6 o'clock that I was going to be testifying. I have no written comments.
And your name, ma'am?
My name is Sue Hitz.
Thank you.
It's very difficult for me to listen to arguments to allow illegals citizen status in any respect, let alone more free government money. I still remember the signs that were NINNA, Negroes and Irish need not apply. I'm proud of my Irish Catholic background. I don't apologize for it, nor do I blame anybody who thought that we were different and we didn't deserve anything. We didn't ask for outside hands. I'm one of 10 children. My father made $3,000 a year. 5 of us graduated from college. 4 more have at least 2 years, and 1 didn't make it through high school. I worked at Birdseye a full shift, and then I went to college. I came home, took a few hours sleep. At 5:30 in the morning, I got up. I loaded the dryer with the dirty wet clothes in the washer and loaded the washer back up with dirty clothes, did the dishes from the night before, packed school lunches for my 4 children, tried to get a couple hours sleep before I went to school. I carried 21 credit hours, worked full-time, and took care of a family. I would get to school, and in the lunchroom, there were people who were on government subsidies sitting there playing cards because they could afford a tutor to help them quickly go through their assignments. And this way they didn't have to go home and take care of their own children. If a person really wants to go to college, they will do what it takes to get there. If we continue to hand out to certain individual groups something that we don't give to everybody, we are breaking the Oregon Constitution, which disallows that. And for anybody to stare at me and say, these poor people, they deserve. I deserved it too, and so I earned it. And I expect them to do the same thing. It took me a long time to pay back my school loans, but I paid every penny back. And I'm a taxpayer. I didn't get anything free. I didn't get any free subsidies. I didn't get any subsidies through grade school. We went to private schools. And we worked after school and we earned our tuition. There's no reason for anybody in this country that wants to go to school to say they can't go because they don't have the opportunity. They make choices, and they have to make choices that's going to help them to go. It took me 10 years to get through college. I'm not ashamed of it. I worked my way through. And no, I don't have a high-paying job, but I have an education that helps me to be a good American, honest-abiding citizen, and I don't have to break the laws. If they want to come in this country, they can come legally. They don't have to compete with us for our jobs, keep us out of work. Well, oh, these poor people, they need help. Yes, they need help. They need a kick in the seat so they can get off their own duff and work for themselves.
Okay, that's probably as far as we'll take that conversation. I appreciate your testimony, but we need to be respectful. All right, okay.
You need to respect us, too.
Yeah.
Well, we do, ma'am, but we try to talk with a little more respect. Thank you. Okay, on that note, Jose Sandoval, Antonio Torres, and Silvio Poot. And after that, we have our last three people who've signed up are Miguel Figueroa, Oscar Morales, and Miguel Furfon, I think. I can't read this handwriting. Okay, gentlemen, we're on the home stretch. Right there in the middle. Tell us who you are, please.
My name is Silvio, and I thanks for this opportunity that I have to speak here. And this was one of my biggest dreams, and I realized already. My dream was to go to high school, and I did it. I'm in high school. I'm a senior. And I thanks for this opportunity. I really thanks Chair Walker and the community. And I'm a student from Poland Brook District School. And I'm a senior. And my dream is to go to Willamette University, and I do have the knowledge, and I do work hard, really hard to overcome my obstacles and be where I want to be. And I do a lot of work, activities. I'm a leader of school. I'm part of the student government school. I'm a student Latino, and I do money as I can to help my community and help other people too, and be much as a role model I can't to tell my people, you know, we can be where we want to be. And I go to school from 8 to 3. From 3:30 to midnight, I have to work 8 hours to support myself and help my family too. And in the weekends, I work from 6 to 3, then from 8 to midnight. And all these 4 years in high school, I've been doing that. I'm really, really tired, very tired doing that, seriously. And I do keep my GPA best I can, and I'm involved in school. I'm really do, now what I'm doing in school, I'm planning Cinco de Mayo, the Dia de los Niños, and Day of the Books. And I do have all the requirements that university asked to go to university, but the only requirement that I don't have is to have legal status. So that is what is stopping to go to university. But I do have goals and dreams, and I want to be a professor. And something that I haven't seen that, and I really want to tell that these 4 years I've been in high school,
There is so many of my friends that have dreams to be a pilot, doctors, professors, veterinarians, lawyers, teachers. But they have been already graduated. And do you know what they're doing now? They work in McDonald's, on the field, after high school, because they have no documents to go over there, like me. So do you think that they will benefit more this country as working at McDonald's or be a professor or a lawyer? Who is going to pay more taxes? Who are going to be the more benefits to work at McDonald's and get a minimum wage? And I refuse to say no to my dreams. I refuse to say, you know, I cannot go to university because anyway, I know I don't have I know that I don't have legal papers to go to university, but I do can go to college, and I know that I have to work a lot more. And this bill is really going to help me and help many people to go to university and become to realize their dream. And please support this bill, because my future and the future of many students is in your hands, and no child should be left behind, as the president said. If I don't become educated, I'm a child left behind. If I want to be a professor, and I do have the knowledge, and I do get involved, and I do learn so many things, but if I have no document rights to be here, so how am I going to realize my dream? And I really work hard, sir. Look at me, look how tired I am. Yesterday I worked so many hours, and I wake up early this morning, and I went to school, and I'm here, and I'm supposed to be working. And I do pay taxes. Of course I do pay taxes. Please support this bill, because my future is in your hand, and as I say, and other students too.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry, what was your name?
My name is Silvio.
Oh, you're Silvio. Okay, I was writing when you came up and announced your name. All right, thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Oh, and I want to say something else.
I'll give you 30 more seconds.
Listen, okay? Yes. Many people call me illegal aliens. And I told them, you know, the United States of America was funded by illegal aliens, such as Christopher Columbus was illegal to the United States, too. Here's a word to remind that.
That was worth your 30 seconds. Thank you.
Chair Walker, members of the committee, my name is Antonio Torres. I'm a student at Western Oregon University. I graduated from Glencoe High School in Hillsboro. Imagine the following scenario, being at a local high school and a student you know approaching you and telling you, I want to go to a university because it has always been a lifelong dream for me. So you're talking to him about a university, and it comes up in the conversation that he has no documents. What would you tell him then? I have been in this scenario many times. Just imagine how hard it is for me to tell them that the only way they can go to university is if they are willing to pay $4,199 a term. Why should they be denied the right to pay in-state tuition if they have lived their whole life and graduated from a high school in Oregon? I'm here to ask you to please support Bill 769 and make it possible for everyone to have an equal education. And I didn't add the following part, but my inspiration is some of the students see you here. I started college in 1996, and I had a scholarship, and I kind of messed that up. But I have seen many students out there that what I wouldn't give for them to have the same opportunity I did. For Sylvia, who wants to go to Willamette University, I mean, I'm going back. I'm on loans right now, but it's just, you know, they're my inspiration. Everybody, the youth are my inspiration, because I also have children, and I know one day my children are going to need doctors, teachers, and that's where they're coming from. But many times those doors are not open for them, and again, I just ask you to support Senate Bill 769.
Thank you, Mr. Torres. Finally, we have Mr. Sandoval.
Good evening, Chair Walker and members of the committee. I know you're looking at my testimony. I'm not going to read all that. That's a lot. But it just gives you a little bit about who I am, and I think it's important. I live in in Salem, and I teach at South Salem Social Studies. And some of my students, and I'm a full-time student at Western, finishing the grad program there. So, but what I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you guys as a teacher. Okay, I work, one of my classes are ESL students. So many people that usually talk against SB 769, and as you can tell, I'm a B4 support right here. When issues like this come up, and the first ones that start talking about that make the arguments that have been made, hey, what caused this and caused that? But when I start talking about the pros and this, often no, this and that, what happens, and the reason I think that most of them can do that, is because they can't put a face to that student. They don't have a relationship, or don't take the time to get to know. You know, maybe they jump the gun sometimes. But what I've been doing, because I have a lot of colleagues that, you know, are against them. And I work one by one and convert all of them. And I'm going to accomplish it, but all I have to do is mention, build a relationship with one of your students. And I'm positive that if you talk to the majority or make one, you'll find one that's not. And I hate to name names, but usually they know one that's not. And when they build that relationship, they flip like that. As a teacher, I need this. I need SB 769. Because it's true. We teach our students, we teach our youth that they can become whoever they want. And I hate lying to my students. I go to class every day, and I talk to them. And I sit there, I say, you're missing a couple assignments. You're missing this. You need to do this because I want you to pass. You're going to pass my class because I need you in my community. And then they're the ones that don't want to pay attention in this. And I'm like, and they come up and they think I'm going to tell them, hey, you know, why didn't you do your home like I said? And I usually don't ask them. I say, so what are you going to do after high school? And they're like, well, I never thought about that. I'm like, well, if I really wanted to, and usually, I don't know, a public, a lawyer, a teacher. And I'm like, well, I'm going to help you do that. But then I come home, and I look at what's going on right now, and our students in the shadow. And I feel guilty because I'm lying to them. So I'm asking you today to support 769, because I need this as a teacher to help my students come back to the community to do and fulfill their dreams. Thank you. See, I didn't get all of it.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, your testimony was very much appreciated. And good luck to you. Okay, we have three people to take us home. Miguel Figueroa, Oscar Morales, and Miguel Farfan. You will come forward. You have 2 minutes apiece. It will just take us till right up till 8 o'clock. Wow. I'm looking out for you.
I'm glad.
Okay.
So I'm in class, I
guess. You don't look like a Miguel or an Oscar.
Yeah. Miguel Farfan and Miguel Figueroa are the same. It's just a mix-up on the last names.
Oh.
Jasmine Arias.
Oh, Cassandra, you're Nightfair. Jasmine. We spoke about you earlier. Nice to meet you.
Here I am.
All right. So, Jasmine, why don't you start first, then?
Okay. I'd like to thank you guys for having us and let us talk about this bill. My name is Jasmine Arias, as everybody already knows. I'm a member of Latinos Unidos Siempre, a youth organization based here in Salem, Oregon. I'm also a student at Temecula Community College and a taxpayer since 1997. I'm here to advocate for Senate Bill 769. This bill will take down one of the many barriers that we immigrant students have to face. I'm fortunate enough to now hold a permanent resident status, but only after waiting for nearly 10 years. My mother, a U.S. citizen, brought my brother, a U.S. soldier, and I here to this country when I was 10 years old. She started an immigration petition in 1992, and it was not until 2001 that my brother and I were able to get our immigration status. The long way was not my mother's fault. It wasn't my fault. The reason why it was such a long way is because of the enormous immigration backlogs. We were doing everything according to the immigration process. I graduated from high school in 1995. I had a 3.5 GPA. I was granted a scholarship that fortunately didn't require that I had an immigration status.
but I was denied many of those that I applied for. I met all the requirements needed to be accepted into a local university, but I didn't apply because I knew my family couldn't afford the out-of-state tuition rates. With the scholarship I received, I was only able to attend college for one term. I could have gone for a year, but because of the out-of-state tuition rates, I had to pay the I spent all the tuition money, or the scholarship money, only in one term. I'm now enrolled in college and hope to one day become a school counselor, but I'm only able to go to school part-time. I have other priorities such as a family and work that it makes it impossible for me to go to school full-time. I lost 6 years of education. I could have a degree by now, and instead I'll probably have to wait for another 5 years or more in order for me to get my degree. I ask you if this is fair. I did everything that was required for me to continue my education. I believe my teachers and my counselors when they said, if I work hard and kept good grades, I'll be able to go to college after I graduated. This country is my home. The American way is the only way of life I know. So why was I punished for something that I had no control over? Why was I punished for a decision that I didn't make? Senate Bill 769 will give the opportunity to those who work hard to reach the American dream and not have to go through the nightmare that I did. I urge you to support Senate Bill 769. And I also included in the back of my testimony, you'll see the current immigration processing times, and they go by family categories. My day job includes working with immigration, family-based immigration cases, and there was a question regarding why does immigration take so long to process these applications? Well, annually, the Immigration Service only gives 450,000 visa numbers that are available for families that are petitioning their members, and those are allocated by the category that the family members placed in. And the back of the page that I gave you guys are the different categories of this family. So that's why it takes so long.
Ms. Arias, that's very, very helpful. Thank you. I appreciate that kind of background information. Okay, who's next?
Okay. Dear committee members, my name is Miguel Parpan. I'm a student from Portland Public School District. I was born in Mexico. My parents decided to move to the United States 2 years ago because they couldn't afford us a good education back in our country. One of the reasons was due to our financial problems that my parents could not provide a substantial life for my little brother and I. Now my family has been living in Oregon for the last 2 years, and I'm very happy because both my parents have jobs and can afford sending us to school. In my school, I am a student leader, and I'm involved in different student groups. I am in the track team, Metric Loop, and I am a volunteer in my community during the weekend. This year, I am a junior, and through the dedication and hard work, I have earned a 3.80 cumulative GPA. Sometimes I think that it doesn't matter how great my GPA is, because it really, in reality, my success is measured by legal status, not by my merits. By this, I mean that my future of having a career and a better life is being denied because of my legal status. Still, I have hope, and this hope is what keeps me going every day and motivates me to continue dreaming to go to college and become a computer engineer. Sometimes this concerns me to think that I have taken the same classes as any American or resident student, and it's not fair for me or any other undocumented student not to have the same opportunity to show our full potential by going to college. I know that if we were given the opportunity to continue our education, we would provide great things to our community. I am in support of Senate Bill 769 because that is the only way for undocumented students to be inspired to continue with their studies. Hundreds of students drop out of their schools because they don't see any reason to continue studying in high school. if they are going to end up working at McDonald's or in a Walmart. I'm asking you to support Senate Bill 769 because it is a way to improve our society by creating responsible citizens through the power of education. Thank you for listening, and I have faith that you can make a fair decision.
Thank you, Mr. Farfan. We appreciate your testimony. Mr. Morales?
Hi, my name is Oscar Morales. Thank you, Senator Walker, for giving me this opportunity to talk. My English is not so good, but I decided to testify because it's important for me and for many youth people, this bill. And I'm asking you, please support this bill because you're supposed to represent good people, and the people that you represent also are youth. Please listen to the people that need it. I decided to come to this country because I want to find a better future and a better life for me and for my family. And I know that education is the best way to support them and to support myself. I love this country. I love this state. And I love my community. We are here not asking nothing for free. And we are not asking for special benefits. We are here to ask for justice for all, and justice for all means justice for all, not just for white, just for brown, or just for black people. Justice for all is for everybody. It's hard for me to explain my feelings, but when I came to this country, I told my mom, because she's still living in Mexico with my dad, and I told them, someday I will be back for you and take you to the United States, because the United States is a place with democracy and justice for all. Please support this bill, not just for me, not just for these people, but please support this bill for everybody who needs to get an education. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morales. We couldn't have said it better. It was a very fine way to end our evening. Any comments from the committee before we close things out? I want to thank everyone for coming. I appreciate that you all show each other respect. This can be an emotional issue for some. This committee needs to get some more information, and then we'll decide where to go from there. And I wish you all very well, and good night. We are going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 769, and this committee is adjourned.